You are about to enter the Exorcists podcast. Some audio may not be suitable for younger audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome all to the Exorcists podcast, where truth is revealed and knowledge to battle the demonic is given. Here is the Exorcist himself, G.P. Haggett.
Hello, and welcome to the Exorcist Podcast. I'm your host, exorcist and theologian, G.P. Haggett. And, just thank you for listening. And if you're listening on YouTube, make sure you click the like button and click subscribe. Smash it if you have to, like some say. This is a very interesting topic that we're going to be having in this podcast. It's drawn up a lot of debate, and it's very understandable that it would, but you have to understand that from my point of view as an exorcist, what I see is not a lot of what people see out there. To people living in this world, physically, it's, you know, what you do, what you see, what society does seems normal to you. Whereas my point of view, I get to see things that are being done on the spiritual aspect of this world and what the darkness is doing. So I know in the last episode, I talked a lot about homosexuality and how the spirits would influence that society, especially Jezebel and Ashtoreth. Those are just the natures of those demons. They do that. Natures of all the demons. You see, how it works is, and we found this out in interrogations, is a spirit will be dominant in the world in how humanity performs certain sins. So right now, and this is why Jezebel is so powerful of a demon and so dangerous. So right now, humanity is headed toward a direction where people are performing sexual sins. A lot of sexual sins in this world. You wouldn't believe how much women come to me who have been raped, incested, sexually abused, molested, that's in their background, seeking help. And not all, but a lot of these women have had lesbian tendencies, or have had thought about becoming a lesbian, or had been attracted to the same sex, and come to find out after the Jezebel spirit is removed from them, like I said before, they revert back to the original aspects in which God created them and intended, and that is to be attracted to the opposite sex. And to a lot of people today, they're going to consider that normal. That homosexuality, bisexuality, transgenderism, that they're trying to get all that normalized. But in reality, to the spirit world, to the heavenly realms, to God Almighty, to demons even, and angels, it is not normal for us. It was never intended to be normal. But the problem is Lucifer brings about assignments to his demons, and he assigns a lot of them with certain tasks to do to society and humanity. This is what we know from Interrogation. Because that is one of the reasons why I make Lucifer say to the courts of heaven and the Almighty that he is a coward. Because he just, you know, some of the other demons that I encounter, they're hard to get information out of. But Lucifer, for some odd reason, is easy to get information out of. And we can just torment the heck out of him, and he just relinquishes the information right away, doesn't want to be tormented. He has this mentality that he is so important, that he should be worshipped, that he should that humanity is just nothing. And once again, people that who are listening to this, who have done a call, are involved in the occult, are Satanist, even in you're involved in witchcraft, this is what Lucifer says to you guys. And he says, and I quote, "You're all puppets." And just keep in mind that as you're listening to this podcast, you're listening to truth. And I'm here, I'm doing this podcast specifically to expose the demonic to the public. I'm here to expose the plans of Satan to the public. And because humanity is so ignorant, we are ignorant. Where a lot of you out there that listen to this are not going to accept it as fact, even though it is. This is 100% truth here, guys, that I'm putting out here. This is an expose. This is exposure of what Satan is doing to you and into our society. I'm exposing this, and they hate me for it. So one of the big things that I'm about to expose to a lot of people out there that are involved in Freemasonry, who are, you know, there's people society even will look at Freemasonry and think, oh, it's just a charitable organization. It's a fraternity, and there's even a sorority. But there is a lot of problems going on with Freemasonry. And I'm going to tell you right now, Lucifer loves the fact that a lot of you out there are involved in Freemasonry. He loves it. Now, I was even duped when I was a kid. When I was in elementary school, middle school, we went on field trips a lot to what is now called the Dow Event Center in Saginaw, but now it used to be called the Saginaw Civic Center. And the Shrine Circus would show up, and I thought it was really cool. And it still goes on today. And then there's Shriner hospitals and so forth, and the Shriners are the highest, and we'll get into this more, are the highest levels that you can get in Freemasonry. But there's a lot of occult aspects about the fraternity that a lot of people don't know out there. And I've even had Freemasons argue with me that, hey, it's not a religious organization. Yeah, I know. But it is considered a cult and occult. And I'll get to that here in a while. This was one of the questions that was sent in to me. Hi there. Just got into your podcast. I'm really enjoying them. One thing you said in episode 9 concerns me. You mentioned Freemasonry. I don't understand what you mean. I've been a Mason for over 15 years, and we have never celebrated any evil. All we do is charitable work. We meet once a month, like a lot of fraternities and clubs do. I'm curious, as I don't understand, how could we have anything to do with Lucifer? Okay, and we're going to explain this in this episode. A lot of the information I'm going to be reading off here is not my own information. It's from another exorcist. And but what you're about to listen to may seem shocking, even incredulous. Those unfamiliar with the diabolical history of Freemasonry may assume that what's going to be in this episode, this podcast, is compilation of urban legends and conspiracy theories. I assure you it's not. I wish that were true. The demonic horrors of the Lodge are, in fact, far worse than what is described in this podcast, what I'm about to say. Much of what I have uncovered empirically about the inner workings of Freemasonry can't be printed in a document or for general public distribution. What you're going to listen to isn't nearly as heinous as what often happens behind lodge closed doors. Getting to the truth is difficult, since few eyewitnesses who leave the lodge will speak of the horrors they witnessed. For fear their lives and reputations being destroyed or even being at risk of death, exposing the awful ongoings in Masonic ceremonies is tough to confirm, since those who participate are bound by death oaths. Let me say that again. Bound by death oaths, never to speak of what they have done, not even to family members. In the old days, the lodge, there was a person known as the Enforcer, whose assignment it was to harass, sometimes murder, an errant ex-lodge member who left and tattled on what he'd seen. Unfortunately, even some who leave the lodge to follow Christ may be intimidated and threatened to the extent that they remain silent, or worse yet, deny the things they've done. This is understandable because in some cases, their actions were criminal. When ex-lodge members are confronted about the worst evils of Freemasonry, the common response is avoidance and denial. Also, not every lodge has the same level of evil activity. Some are quite Christianized. Though all Shriners, the highest level of Freemasonry, must eventually renounce Christ and embrace Allah, earning the right to wear the fez and the scepter, crescent moon, and the star of Islam. This is the actual symbol of the brutal Islamic Ottoman Empire, by the way. But even the most benign of lodges follow established oaths and degrees which invoke satanic curses at many levels. Let me say that again. But even the most benign of lodges, the most innocent, it seems like, just do some charitable work, follow established oaths and degrees which invoke satanic curses at many levels. Now, in my many years of being an exorcist, I've worked with ex-lodge members. I've to do deliverance on them, and most of the time, descendants of Freemasons, and who suffer unimaginable consequences because of their forbearers' deeds. I speak from experience regarding what ex-Masons have revealed and demons have disclosed concerning the torment the progeny of Masons have and endured. Doing spiritual warfare on behalf of ex-Masons and descendants of Masons requires knowledge of the demonic forces behind Freemasonry. Just a side note, for a lot of you that are in Freemasonry and or are descendants of Freemasons, the evil spirits, and you should write this down if you're listening to this, the evil spirits that are involved in Freemasonry are, of course, Lucifer, Apollyon, Abaddon, both similar names. Sometimes a demon will go by Apollyon, sometimes it won't, it'll go by Abaddon. Mammon, Jezebel, and Moloch. And sometimes I find Baphomet there as well. Baphomet, he's kind of a very cowardly demon. It doesn't show it in his images, but he does have a crown, and what he even says he does. So we get him to take his crown off and lay it before Jesus. Much excellent research regarding the dangers of Freemasonry is available online, just so you know. Several good ministries have published documents detailing the dangers of the lodge, including a degree by degree explanation of Masonic infamies. My purpose is not to exhaustively analyze every problem presented by Freemasonry. I have chosen to highlight some of the most obvious blasphemies and scriptural departures from Christianity. By intent, this is a precise and condensed portrayal of the lodge's perils. My goal is to educate the listener by exposing basic Masonic evils and demonstrate its opposition to Orthodox biblical Christianity. Much more could have been put forward into this podcast, but really didn't have a lot of time. Anybody with Masonic influence in their bloodline should act quickly and to cut off the evil of this diabolical society. Your emotional, physical, and spiritual health may be at stake. And I'll try to explain the best that I can about the dangers of why this cult is so dangerous. But let's continue. Let's talk about the curse that is more associated with Freemasonry. On our ministry website, there is a download. Anybody can download. You can go to orderofthenightsofchrist.com, click on Help Me, and there is a prayer in there. The renunciation is actually pretty long. You can read off, and it will break the curse of Freemasonry off of you. But there is a curse associated with Freemasonry because of all the oaths and the vows and the actions that people do. I'll go into a little bit more in detail here, but curses are maledictions of evil. Let me say that again. Curses are maledictions of evil invoked by rituals and actions which predispose future generations to moral and spiritual consequences of the curse's intent. Again, they are maledictions of evil invoked by rituals or actions which predispose future generations to moral and spiritual consequences of the curse's actions, their intent. So it is by your ritual and your action. Remember that as I go through and explain this more. And toward the end, I'll describe a lot of what Freemasons and their descendants go through health-wise in accordance to these actions that Freemasons perform. Such evil may be inherited from one's ancestors on a faraway continent, in another place or time. An overlooked source of curses is right in our midst, the cult of Freemasonry. This secret organization presents a harmless public face, often appearing to be social and philanthropic organization that is not particularly religious. Looks can be deceiving in a way. Freemasonry maintains a strict wall of secrecy among its beliefs, teachings, and ceremonies. Much has been written about Freemasonry, which has often been a controversial group because of its secrecy. Its obscure and allegorical origins go back to centuries in Europe, to the times of the Crusades. It is a fraternal, male-only organization. Rituals play a central role in gatherings of members, and although the organization does not identify itself as a religious group, terminology and symbols borrowed from many religions can be found at every level. According to Masons, their history can be traced to Old Testament stonemasons who built King Solomon's temple. Hiram Abiff, purported builder of Solomon's temple, remains the hero in the eyes of Masons because of his refusal to reveal the secrets of his trade to intruders. Inspired by Abiff, Masons met in lodges and guilds until the Middle Ages. When the group disbanded, awaiting its renewal in the 18th century, with the decline of the Masons' critical role in building construction, operative, actual stonework. Freemasonry evolved into an esoteric order of secluded, philosophical Freemasonry. Many believe that Freemasonry really began in the 15th century when King Philip of France persecuted the Knights Templar, medieval soldiers of the Crusades. As a result of the Crusades, the Templars had accumulated massive wealth by being the protectors of resources given to them for safekeeping by Crusaders. Philip feared their growing power and persecuted them, expelling them from his realm. The Templars, angered by this disrespect shown them after decades of risking their lives for the church, went rogue and called upon Lucifer by devising the so-called Black Mass of Satan worship. In the 18th century, a German philosopher named Adam Weishaupt founded another shadowy organization in with Luciferian aims, the Illuminati. Over time, since the practices of both Freemasons and the Illuminati were secretive and anti-church, there was an informal accommodation between the two orders. In 1717, in England, Freemasonry enjoyed a British revival. In the early 19th century America, explorers Albert Pike and Albert Mackey wrote and interpreted Masonic literature and rituals. These two men were instrumental in laying down the laws of Freemasonry. Now here's the thing. Albert Pike is considered by American Masons to be a great Masonic scholar and historian. He was also an admitted, let me say that again, an admitted occult Luciferian. He was also an admitted occult Luciferian, exposing his beliefs in such books as Morals and Dogma, a text of Freemasonry. Now, a lot of you Freemasons out there, and possibly some of you descendants out there are listening to this, know who Albert Pike is and his influence on Freemasonry. Let me say that again. He was also an admitted occult Luciferian. Condemned for centuries by the Roman Catholic Church and banned by Greek and Latin American governments. Gee, why is that? Masons have often been active in politics. Some of the most prominent American Masons were George Washington, of course, Benjamin Franklin, Theodore Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Gerald Ford, and Chief Justices of the United States Supreme Court, William O. Douglas, Potter Stewart, Hubert Black, and Earl Warren. The Blue Lodge is the basic Masonic organization representing the first three Masonic degrees: Entered Apprentice, Fellow Craft, and Master Mason. The symbol for the Master Mason degree denotes a compass exemplifying male force and a square depicting female force. Other Masonic symbols, including the apron, must be worn at all meetings and to one's burial, as well as the star, its 5 points of fellowship. Master Masons may receive more degrees in either the York Rite or the Scottish Rite of Masonry. And we'll get to more of the Scottish Rite later. In addition to the Shriners and High Degree Masons, Freemasonry also includes the Order of the Eastern Star for women, the Order of Damalier for teenage boys, and the Order of the Rainbow for teenage girls. Let's get into a little bit more about the inside of the lodge. Now, in particular, what is an interesting lodge is the Brooklyn Lodge. And inside of it, you can see a pentagram. It has the 2 points up version of the 5-pointed star. used by both Masons and Satanists. And we'll get into more about the meaning, the occult meaning of the inverted and upright five-pointed star. A caption reads in that particular lodge, "With faith, all things are possible," which is a corruption of the Bible verse, "With God, all things are possible," Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. And inside the inner sanctum of the lodge, there is a heavy throne-like chair for the worshipful master behind a podium. Above it is the Masonic symbol, compass of the stonemasons, tools of the square and compass, with a capital G inside. Now, there's a lot of debate over about what by non-Masons what the actual G stands for. This G is supposed to stand for the word geometry, and also grand architect or God. But the question is, who is their God? Masons acknowledge a supreme architect, but this deity is purposely ambiguous. At the time of this, at the time of his initiation, a man must declare his faith in this supreme being, this grand architect, but he is never required to say what God he worships. Interesting. If any. False religions are integrated within the Masonic experience. Now, more interesting about, I bring the Brooklyn Lodge up because it has actually inscriptions on the inside of it, say, the mythology of Judaism, the mythology of the Greeks, the mythology of the Egyptians, and the mythology of the Assyrians. Those four major religious systems were represented in that lodge. But here's the thing too. Masons are known for their death oaths, spoken aloud by initiants, which seal the spiritual curses that comes with entered apprenticeship degrees. Now, I have an example of a death oath, but I'm not going to say it because I'm not going to break what Jesus said, and I'll read that later. But this is one reason why Christians should not become Freemasons, because of the death oaths. And we'll get into more about what Jesus says here in a moment about such things being performed in clandestine occults. So again, I have a description of one of the death oaths here on paper, but I'm not going to read it off. But the descriptions in the death oath is pretty much making the motions to do certain things. And some of it is recited about blindfolded. Let me see here. I'll just read one line. Furthermore, I'm going to remove the eyes, so it's all so it's not associated with me. So I'll say blank. Further, do blank promise and swear that blank will obey all regular signs and summonees given, handed, sent, and thrown to blank, for me, by the hand of a brother, fellow craft mason, or from the body of just a lawfully constituted lodge of such, provided that it be within the length of my cable toe, or square and angle of my work. Furthermore, do blank promise and swear that blank will be aiding and assisting all poor and penniless brethren, fellow crafts. And that's another thing here too, that about Freemasonry, is that they go and help. They would go and help a fellow Mason out first, even if they're not of the same religion as them. Whereas before they would go and help fellow Christian out. So that's one aspect that it's unchristian. Here we go. To all which blank do most solemnly and sincerely promise and swear without the least hesitation, mental reservation or self-evasion of mind, in blank, whatever binding themselves, when they say that, under no less penalty than have blank their left breast torn out and their heart and vitals taken from hence and thrown over their left shoulder and carry into the valley of Jehoshaphat, there to become a prey to the wild beasts of the field and vultures of the air, if ever blank should prove willfully guilty of violating any part of their solemn oath or obligation of fellow craft mason. So help me God, they say. And it goes on. But you can see why this is called a death oath. Even when people do not take it seriously, this oath is binding. Again, demons are everywhere, and they're listening to what you say. Remember, we can go back and to James' epistle, and we can talk about how nobody can tame the tongue. Again, you listen to all these previous exorcisms in this podcast. I make demons say an oath, and it's binding, and they have to leave. And you can hear these people coughing and hacking, screaming, yelling, what have you, vomiting these demons out. These people also have to say renunciations. They have to break a curse, they have to speak things. And you hear me doing ecbolism to torment these demons by my words are only merely saying torment, fire, and I can go on and say other words to a demon to torment them. So these oaths are binding, folks. If you're a Freemason, or you were a descendant of a Freemason, your ancestors that were Freemason and your descendant spoke for you. This curse, these curses, these oaths travel on to you. Others are even more suicidal, declaring the initiant's willingness to have their throat slit from ear to ear. And they're instructed to make the motion of the slash with their hand, mimicking the act of murder. And the spirit of murder watches all this as you're performing these oaths, and these oaths are binding. The motions that you make are binding, and even upon your descendants. Masons will argue, well, these oaths are just symbolic. They are not meant to be taken literally. However, would anyone want to just to put himself under such incredible judgment if there's really nothing to do? And God, you Masons, God is listening to all this too. What you bind here on earth gets bound in heaven. Again, go back and listen to my exorcisms. These are all oaths that these demons are saying. These are renunciations. These are all spoken things that people are saying. And they're getting healed spiritually and physically. And when you make these oaths, I'll get into it, talk about it more, you're affecting the health of your future generations. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, I've read a lot of through the words of, you know, of the Masonic oaths. The oath taker swears higher allegiance, again, like I was talking about before, to his fellow Masons than any other individuals, including family members. This means that every Christian who is a Mason has sworn to take care of his fellow Masons first before his Christian brethren. It is easy to understand why some of the strongest occult curses are Freemason curses. Something to think about. Besides premature death among the specific curses uttered under oath and curses of disease, suffering, family strife and troubles, and sexual violation, I have found that in cases of unexplained barrenness and repeated miscarriage, and in serious cases of molestation and paraphernalia, the curse of Freemasonry is to blame. Sometimes these curses fall on families' own fall on Mason's own family, and other times they are inherited by their children. Often the descendants of Freemasons suffer a series of dangerous accidents, serious physical injuries, strange illnesses, and odd misfortunes. Now, entire books have been written about the cult of Freemasonry, which has influenced many other sects and secret societies in history. I mean, one is Rosicrucianism. Another is Mormonism. And Mormons are actually under the same type of curse as of Freemasonry, because Joseph Smith was a Freemason, and he borrowed a lot of the Freemason elements and applied them to Mormonism. And so when we actually break curses over Mormons, we have them say the curse of Joseph Smith. I trust that this brief description is adequate to convince a lot of you out there that this clandestine occult is the source of countless curses and unnecessary suffering. Certainly not all Freemason lodges are overtly Luciferian, and I'm sure, like this gentleman that had sent this message in asking about this, their lodge, his lodge is probably not very Luciferian. But yet there still is the problem with saying the oaths. But when people bind themselves together by death oaths and curses, they open themselves up to ungodliness and evil of the others. When members swear oaths in the strictest secrecy, especially when those oaths involve injury and death as consequences, an environment exists in which curses and evil spirits can operate. So let's take a moment here. Let's go and look at the gospel. After his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made his teachings clear about ungodly oaths. And if you're a Mason or a descendant of a Mason, listen up and remember and go back and watch or listen to these exorcisms again in this podcast series. That, and listen to the words. In inner healing, we help the person to verbally renounce things. We help the people to verbally curse break. And then these are adequate binding renunciations, curse breaking, and getting the demon to say an oath is binding. Whether you mean it or not, or if it's symbolic, the heavenly realms, the unseen world, hears it and makes it binding, even by your actions. And this is what Jesus said. Again, you have heard it. It was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, talking about the heavenly realms, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, talk about the earthly realms, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot take one hair, white or black, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Let me say that again. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. That should tell you right there the evil aspect and who's behind and why we find Lucifer in Masons. No swearing of oaths is exempt. A presumptive oath is promising to do something that you do not have the power to perform, or that God forbids you to perform, such as murder, or offering oneself to be killed. Far from being merely a symbolic and illustrative, such oaths being real curses to them, Jesus speaks these words to all his followers. Anytime people cannot settle for a simple yes or a no, but instead must underline their devotion with oaths, they submit themselves to demonic spiritual attack. Any organization which requires its members to commit themselves to each other and to the organization by means of life-threatening secret vows, oaths, rituals, or ceremonies is evil. This is especially true when those words of commitment require members under oath to perform immoral, illegal, or murderous acts. Now, A lot of these oaths require the motion of taking like your thumb, going from one ear to the other, making the motion over the chest and the bowels with your hands. This is a ritual while saying an oath. Mysteriously, when we help as exorcists, and we notice this, people who have Freemasonry background, we notice cancer in the bowels. We notice throat cancer, heart attacks, areas in which the Mason or the ancestor who was a Mason had symbolically performed rituals during the oath that if they didn't tell, such things would happen to them. And it is the job of this curse, it is the job of these demons to make sure that these oaths that were broken are enacted. And so the demons, Lucifer, Jezebel, Mammon, Apollyon, Abaddon, Ashtoreth, Baphomet, all feel responsible, according to the divine law, to enact the oaths that you make, Masons, to enforce the law, to enforce what you or your ancestors have said. In essence, you are destroying your future generations. You are destroying their health, and you don't even know it, all by you speaking. Again, and I would encourage you to go back to the epistle of James and read the first chapter. Read all of it. He talks about how no one can tame the tongue. The tongue is a two-edged sword. I can speak to demons boldly, even according to Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says, I will speak boldly as I ought to speak. You need to tame your tongue, people. Not just Masons, everybody out there. The tongue is hard to tame. We find ourselves saying things that can hurt other people. And you know what the worst curses are? I've said it before, it's word curses. By saying to other people, oh, you're stupid, you'll never amount to anything. And as long as that person takes it to heart, the curse lands and the curse enacts. Literally, you can demonize somebody just by speaking to them. Be careful with what your words say. Now let's get back to the Order of the Eastern Star. This is the sorority portion of Freemasonry for women. Now, I have noticed, and a lot of others have noticed, that I think it is actually law in Freemasons that the lodge has to be built and be facing east. It's a big deception what they actually believe about the Eastern Star. A lot of people will ask, you know, what is the Eastern Star in Freemasonry? And then right away, a lot of them will say, well, it's the Star of Bethlehem. No. The Star of Bethlehem is a Western star. The Magi, the wise men, were traveling west following the star. It is not the Eastern Star. If they would have been traveling east, they would have been hitting China. The Eastern Star is actually Sirius. And in a lot of occult knowledge, the Star of Sirius is a very evil star. Now, let's go back to the symbolism. If you look and you go into any town, sometimes they'll have a list of all these organizations in town. And you'll notice the Freemasonry symbol, the compass and the square, and also the Eastern Star for the women. Now, in occult knowledge, this is fact. This is how it's recognized. When the star is upright with one point up, it is the symbol of witchcraft. You can find this in any occult dictionary. That's witchcraft. And it's rightly so that the Wiccans have chosen that version of the star. But when the star is upside down, two points pointed up, in occult knowledge, it is satanic and representative of Satanism, of something being satanic. Why is the two points up in the sorority, in the order of the Eastern Star? Because it's satanic, folks. They didn't choose that for a reason. And keep in mind, going back to Albert Pike, he was an admitted occult Luciferian. Now, a lot of the higher degrees, what a lot of Masons in the lower degrees are not aware of, but when they reach the Shriners, they reach the 32nd degree, and I believe the 33rd degree is actually an honorary degree. They reach that those degrees, they have to go and actually renounce Christ. And they find out that Lucifer is actually the one who is the most influence over all of the organization. So I hope that this podcast about Freemasonry is a big eye-opener for a lot of you out there about Freemasonry. Even if your lodge is not fully Luciferian, does not practice a lot of the evils that a lot of other lodges do, because there are lodges out there that will practice straight-on Luciferian practices, there are still the oaths to deal with that you have said. And you have to renounce those. So I would encourage you, go to our website, go to orderofthenightsofchrist.com, go to Help Me, and there are downloads there, and you can download the Freemasonry, the Curse of Freemasonry Renunciation Prayer. It's breaks the curse of Freemasonry. It's rather long. But we want to make sure that you hit every aspect of Freemasonry so that you're set free. And if you listen to this podcast and you're a Freemason and you still don't believe in all this, well, you know, we're leaving that town just like the apostles did, and we're going on to the next town. And you don't want to be helped. You want to live that lie, and that's your prerogative. You want to live that evil. You want to put those curses upon your future generations. That's your problem. And so be it if you want to do that. But once again, I'm here. I'm doing this podcast to tell you, the public, tell you, the world, the truth about demonic activity. So, thank you for listening. Feel free to, you know, should be a link also in the description of this podcast. Your financial gifts do help to keep this ministry going. It does help us to travel around to different areas to help people, to do mass deliverances. So if you feel led to give a financial gift, there is that link in the description. Fill it out and click submit. I want to thank you ahead of time. So that's all for today. Until the next podcast, and the next podcast will be talking more about marine demons and how to deal with those. God bless you. Have a great day.